Good morning. I'm Simone with your live leaderboard standings from the second round of the coveted 88th Masters Tournament. Max Homa out in front with 7 under and through 7. The round 1 leader, Bryson DeChambeau, is 7 under as well and through 3. And the incomparable Tiger Woods is currently 1 over and through 8. Your live leaderboard standings are, of course, provided by Naturewood Home Furnishings, where it's all about choices and always about quality. Welcome in to Styles and Watkins.
It's time. It is that time. Time for Styles and Watkins.
You can join the show by texting 916-339-1140. Find us on YouTube at Sactown Sports 1140.
It's time for Alan Styles and Chris Watkins.
Yes, yes, yes. We have made it to Friday. Styles and Watkins, Sactown Sports, taking you up to 2 p.m. as we say goodbye, and we will cue the music up, boys to men. And great job by Simone with those Masters updates. But we will cue up the music. It's so hard to say goodbye to the 6 seed because it's gone. It's gone, 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 gone. Chris Watkins, 135 to 123. It's over.
Yeah.
It's over.
It's over.
It's over. Just like Sacramento Kings, great. Vince Carter once said.
There we go.
And basically,
and Kenny Smith, you got two Sacramento greats.
Sacramento greats.
Yeah.
And the bottom line is ownage, okay?
Yikes.
The Kings came back from, you know, what do you think about this, Chris? Because I saw people say the Kings came back from down 20 twice. I don't really count that second one. Do you?
No, they didn't make the full comeback, right?
The first one, yeah. When they got it within two, count that.
Yeah.
The second one.
They fought back,
but it doesn't count as a comeback.
I think eight. Yeah, I think it was close to eight.
That's not coming back.
No, I mean, they prevented it from really being really, really bad, and, you know, it's definitely something that's, notable, but at the same time, doesn't classify as two comebacks. No, I would not say that. I mean, it was nice to see that level of effort and that level of fight in a game where your season is kind of on the line, I guess you could say. But no, I would not consider what happened in the fourth quarter a full blown comeback. It was a nice effort, nice story, nice button up to the story, but not a comeback.
And most of all, it's just annoying. Right? I mean, both of them were annoying. I know we talk about gaming. Brendan Nunes was just on with the morning show, and Brendan's a gamer. I don't know what his gamer tag is, but you can go find him on Discord or something like that. But the whole the meme when somebody leans forward to actually start trying, I don't know if it's necessarily that, because we know this team is limited without Kevin Huerter, who we have sound from. Kevin Huerter speaks for one of the first times after his surgery, and obviously no Malik Monk. I understand what they're missing, but it does feel like, man, you couldn't come out the jump like this.
Yeah. No, it totally makes sense. I think it's fair. It's nice that they did, show the effort, and at the end of the game went back down 20 again and continued to fight. But you could definitely make the argument, and you were really quick on it yesterday. You could argue that 33-11 start pretty much ended the game. Like, after that, they just never really, even though they did eventually make the comeback, the fact that they got down that big early really was the writing on the wall. And you know, it's tough to make that 20. Just because it happens all the time doesn't mean it's easy. The fact that they took the effort to make that 20-point comeback, you know, it takes a lot of energy. And I think at some point, you know, you can only fight for so long, and fighting for 48 minutes is something everybody wants to do, but realistically it's a really, really tough thing to accomplish. And I think that's what ended up costing the Kings yesterday is, you know, Pelicans were on from start to finish, and the Kings took like 5 or 6 minutes to get it going.
Yeah. And, you know, you talk about having that fight. They're going to need it tonight again. But before we start talking about tonight, let's do it to Frank Facts.
Let's do it. Frank Facts, brought to you by Frankie Carticelli. We won't play favorites yet. We don't have beef like those morning guys. So we're going to do Frank Facts here, brought to you by our friend Frankie Carticelli. And this is one of the last times we'll have the opportunity to do it. Obviously, you know, the final regular season game being on Sunday, we could probably do it on Monday. And then, you know, obviously there's going to be Frank Facts after all the play-in games and hopefully play-off games. So,
we're
going to enjoy Frank Facts while we got it. For the fifth time this season, the Kings fell victim to the New Orleans Pelicans, who combined 5-0 head-to-head sweep with a 135-123 win at Golden 1 Center. The Kings will now focus on securing the 7th or 8th seed in the upcoming play-in, which is set to begin. Alan, we've got no time off. The play-in starts on Tuesday. I don't know if the Kings necessarily are scheduled to play on Tuesday. Play-in's going to be Tuesday and Wednesday.
Okay.
Don't know how they're going to decide which ones those are going to be, but play-in starts immediately after the season's over. So Kings last game Sunday, and then we'll be right back in action next week. Sacramento owns the tiebreaker as they are currently tied with the Lakers and the Warriors for that 8th seed, but will likely need to win one or both of their remaining games tonight against Phoenix and Sunday against Portland to ensure that they stay out of the single game elimination 9-10 seed matchup. New Orleans' top 5 ranked defense flexed its muscles early, holding the Kings to that 34. It was actually 34-11 start in the first 9:30 of action. But that was not all that the Kings had on that night. Behind 17 first half points from De'Aaron Fox and an 11-point start for our guy who we never doubted, not even once, Harrison Barnes. Your dog.
That's right.
The most points he scored in 7 games. And a 10-point second quarter from Sabonis. Sacramento trimmed the 23-point deficit to 6 points to take the game into halftime at 64-58. And that's when things started to stop going the Kings' way. Trey Murphy, CJ McCollum, and Jose Alvarado combined for 19 of 30 from beyond the arc. HB had himself a night, as we just talked about, 22 points, 9 of 15 from the field. Unfortunately, the Kings waste a very, very good Harrison Barnes game. The Kings had previously been 18-5 when Harrison Barnes scores just 15 points. That's all it took. 15 points and the Kings were 18-5. They now fall to 18-6 when HB scores 15 or more on the season. Honestly, the one thing, too, that's what, 24 games where HB has scored over 15 points? He's played in 80 games now, and it's just that I just feel like that number needed to be more this year. I think they just needed to have more games. I mean, because again, we said it yesterday, but when HB plays well, it just looks like a different team. They just look like they have a different gear to go to. And if you could have had this level of production from HB and had, you know, Malik have the season he had, I think maybe things go differently. But that's kind of the story of this year. De'Aaron Fox put in 33 points on 11 of 18 from the field, passed out 8 assists, which was my prop number yesterday. We know that the Kings have a great record when De'Aaron dishes 7 or more assists. The Kings unfortunately lose. De'Aaron added 2 steals as well as he continues his consecutive game streak with a steal. I don't know what that number's sitting at, but I'm pretty sure he's inching towards Doug Christie's franchise record. This season, the Sacramento Kings have allowed 13 teams to score 130 points or more. The New Orleans Pelicans are the only team that has done so twice to the Kings. So they clearly, if you needed any more evidence that the Pelicans just have the Kings number, there's another thing for you. Is the Pelicans just have put it on the Kings multiple times. This is actually one of the fewest point differentials in their matchups, but nonetheless, the Pelicans have just destroyed the Kings all year long. Kings now move to 8-8 without Kevin Huerter and 3-5 since Malik Monk went down with that injury. And here's a fun little nugget from our guy Will Z Stats. This one hurts. This is not great. You know, I think everybody felt that CJ McCollum, you know, has absolutely killed the Kings this season. Definitely killed them last night. He was 9 of 12 from beyond the arc. This season, CJ McCollum has shot a combined 19 of 27 from 3 against the Kings. That is 70% through, I don't know if he's played in all 5. I think that's through 4 games so far this season. CJ has just absolutely torched the Kings. Somebody shooting 70% through a 4-game stint is incredible. And for it to be against one team, in three matchups. It's in three matchups. That's personal. That's just personal, man. I don't like that. I did not need that, CJ.
Should have drafted him. Should have drafted him.
Probably. That's not even hindsight, really. That's just like, you know, let me look at that draft real quick. 2013 draft. The Kings took Ben McLemore at number 7. They passed on CJ McCollum. They passed on Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, who was the very next pick at number 8. They passed on, and not that Steven Adams necessarily would have been an option, but Steven Adams at 12, Kelly Olynyk at 13. Here's the one that really hurts. 2013 draft. This is actually one of those where, funny enough, we talk about this year's draft and everybody's talking about how it's kind of a down year and, you know, it's really not the year to have a high pick. That's exactly what people said about the 2013 draft when Anthony Bennett was the number 1 selection. Victor Oladipo went number 2. Otto Porter number 3. Our friend Cody Zeller, who got some minutes. Brendan told me yesterday, Cody Zeller and Alex Len played in yesterday's games. That was the 4 and 5 picks in the 2013 draft.
Dang.
Cody Zeller and Alex Len were both top 5 picks that year. I say all this to say, the Kings also skipped on the 15th pick in the 2013 NBA draft, one Giannis Antetokounmpo.
Knew that was coming.
Yeah.
You know, before we pay some bills here, De'Aaron Fox, I don't think it was meant to be a shot, but it was kind of funny to me, and we know the drama this season with De'Aaron and Sabonis not getting one. It wasn't meant to be a shot, but during the postgame, De'Aaron did say,
really?
You know, whenever you talk about guys that have never been an all-star, it was kind of random.
Okay.
He said, whenever you talk about guys that have never been an all-star, CJ's always 1, 2, 3 on that list. It was just kind of random.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of one of those things where it's always somebody has to be the best player who's never made an all-star team.
Right.
And before, it used to be Mike Conley was like that guy.
Yeah.
I didn't know that CJ got past that torch, but apparently that's what it is.
I just felt like it was a little bit random.
It's pretty random.
But, you know, it's not that it's not true.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
De'Aaron said he probably deserved to have already been an all-star, but De'Aaron was.
Kind of a backhanded compliment,
that's what I'm saying.
Guess.
It was just a random timing.
Yeah.
If we will. Coming up next, we talk about the ownage. We hear from Mike Brown, and we give you the chicken wing sound. Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.
Numbers are hard.
Not one, not two, not three, not four, not five. 5 times in a row, the Kings lose to the Pelicans. It doesn't matter who is on the floor for the Pelicans. Honestly. And Chris, I do think some of it is mental. Ownage is ownage. If you listen to Crook and Kipe, Giants, I think ownage is ownage. And at the end of the day, the Pelicans never were nervous and the Kings never felt confident. And I think that in itself is enough. On top of the fact that the Kings have really been struggling lately, I think that was enough that the Kings didn't really have a shot last night.
Yes, they did. They had a shot last night.
No, they did not.
What are you talking about? They didn't have a shot last night.
They
put up 120 points. They just, you know, if CJ McCollum doesn't go absolutely nuclear, if Trey Murphy doesn't hit 6
threes.
But
they did because they feel comfortable. That's my point.
You can feel comfortable and still miss shots.
But you just read 70% from CJ.
No, he's killing it. And that's what I'm saying. Like, how normal is that?
But Trey Murphy just put up 30 last game,
yeah,
too.
He shot 50% from three. He was hitting deep threes like
crazy. He just did it last game.
I'm not saying it's not an anomaly. I'm just saying. You said they didn't have a chance at winning yesterday.
The Sacramento Kings are the first team.
Yes.
In nearly 3 decades. To lose 5 games in the regular season to the same team.
Sure. But how does that mean that they didn't have a chance yesterday?
I'll put it to you like this.
Please.
Once it tipped and it started to be, you know, they got down five.
Yes, they got down 20.
They got down 9. They got 20. How can you say they had a shot?
Because they then came back and were down 2.
But it's easy to do that after you're already. We've seen this. Where is this at the beginning of the game, Chris?
I don't know. I mean, the Kings ended up going on a 21-8 run to respond to that 33-11 run.
Did you ever feel like the Kings were going to win last night?
Yes, I think they had a shot.
Chris.
When De'Aaron was going crazy, when HB started hitting things, when it was a 2-point game.
And then you got
CJ.
Yep. They got CJ'd. They got Alvarado'd.
Yes, they did. That's what happened. Is Jose Alvarado went 3 of whatever from three. Like they all shot like significantly above 40%, which would be considered really good. If you're shooting 70%, that's an anomaly. If you're shooting 50% from three, granted,
it's a shooter's arena.
Now you're just saying things.
Chris,
now you're just saying
Chris,
things.
Chris. I sat on these airwaves. I said, this is the one game I know they'll win. I said that. And then they get down 20 after the first quarter.
And then they came back in the third quarter.
But they didn't,
though. What do you mean? No, they didn't in the fourth quarter. They did come back in the third.
It was never a tie game. Was it ever a tie game?
No, but it was a two-point game.
Two-point game.
It was a two-point game. And then,
I'm with you, big dog. I know.
No, backsides got tight. Sweaty palms. You can't convert on turnover. Chris, the fast break. Chris, I saw two of the worst turnovers. I saw two of the worst fast breaks. I'm not kidding.
Agreed.
All season long.
Yes.
All season.
Yes. Keegan's terrible.
That was awful.
The worst finisher in the league.
And I tried to defend that
Fox.
Man. Where's his poster? Because HB, we can put his.
He's literally gone missing.
He's literally gone now.
Keegan's.
We can't find him.
I literally think Keegan's cutout is gone.
I got to find
him. Keegan's cutout is.
Okay.
HB,
all right.
What did you do to
HB,
him?
Well, no. It's like Marvel. You got to sacrifice one just to get another. Can you all just show up at the same time? Obviously, I'm being facetious here, Chris, but I just, as soon as it tipped off, brother, they couldn't get into their sets. I have something to say to everybody, and including our own Kyle Draper, that said Domas and talk about the midi. And I said, yeah, man. Well, Valanciunas, he was dead red last night. The bag, you need to call up JanSport. You need to figure it out because the bag is not bagging right now, Domas. I'll leave it to you, Chris. I got to cool off here.
I mean, I don't really know where you want me to go, but I think that the Kings got I think it's unfortunate that the Pelicans shot 55%. I definitely think some of that is the Kings. I mean, the Kings, we've talked about it all year. Mm-hmm. They are one of the worst, or I think they still might be the worst, three-point defending team in the league. So you can kind of draw some parallels to maybe why that happened. But if I'm looking at the shots CJ hit yesterday, he did have 3 or 4 wide-open looks, which is, you could argue, inexcusable. But I think a big part of it is, too, this is how the Pelicans are built. Like, this is what's so hard. Is Zion driving to the rim, and they literally have 4 shooters around him. I mean, Jonas, when he's out there, obviously is not a shooter, but he's there in the dunker spot. Mm-hmm. You have Trey Murphy. You've got CJ. You've got Herb Jones. You've got Jose Alvarado, who's apparently a sniper these days. Like, and they did the Dante Exum thing with Dyson Daniels. Dyson Daniels even shot 40% from three. He's a 30% three-point shooter.
Yeah.
Like, they hit their shots, and it sucks that happened.
But Dyson wasn't hitting early. It's just eventually you just – that's a lot of you're asking someone to brick all game.
But
he did brick early.
You've got to live with it.
It's just like Dante. They brick early.
You've got to live with it, though.
You're going to eventually. We talked at the media dinner table. You give somebody 10 open shots.
But if you give Dyson Daniels 10 open shots, he statistically is going to make 3 of them.
And what did he shoot last night?
He shot 40%. He hit 2 of 5. That's not normal. Like, that's exactly what you're going to live with. You can't just guard every... Like, yeah, here's defensive strategy for Mike Brown. Guard everybody. Of course. But, like, you have to help. You've got to rotate. Like, at some point, you've got to live with somebody taking the three. And if Dyson Daniels is the one taking the three, that's great. Jose Alvarado hit 3 threes all in transition. One, he was like deep in the corner.
No, that was crazy.
He shot over the hoop. Another one, he's like running full
speed. And he's
speed.
The worst, by the and way. He's the worst.
Russell Westbrook level of annoyance.
I can't wait for the summer because I got a list of annoying players.
Please.
And it's a long list.
We'll both bring Stephen A. list.
And he is
top
on.
Top 5 most annoying.
Okay, I'll give it to you like
number
this.
Number 1 with a bullet.
And now I sound like Paul George with the Kings. They need to go look at Paul George this summer.
Please.
But I'll give it to you like this. When I saw CJ on all those transition threes, I felt like Paul George. Those are bad shots. Those are bad shots.
So, yeah, some of them are.
You just think he wouldn't make at least one of those transition threes. He hit every single one. He hit every single one, man.
Yeah.
Every single one.
I you know, and I think that's like that's one of those things that you just got to chalk down to, man, like, I guess this fool is just on one today. And I don't know how much more they really could have done. Like, if you double team CJ, well, that's the problem with it. Like, Zion's going to kill you in one-on-one.
What about the rotations to where, and I don't know, this isn't football, right? But how about, hey, man, I don't really care about the whoever is the rotation that has to leave CJ. I know, obviously, it doesn't make sense because that's the defensive rotation, but it just felt like I don't really care. Once he gets on a burner, I don't really care what else is going on. There were a couple times.
But then it's Trey Murphy.
I hear you.
And Trey Murphy was 6-12.
I know.
And Jose Alvarado,
but how do you
was
get Herb
3-4 in the second half.
Find a way to just leave Herb, and then Herb would hit.
That's what I'm saying. That's what, like, at some point, you just have to. I'm sure Mike Brown said, I didn't get to hear the postgame, but I'm sure he said.
They just
tip
said
your
uncle.
Hat. Tip your hat to the Pelicans. Like, they hit shots. They executed.
Remember, I think this was after the second or third loss. I can't keep track. I almost need both
hands.
I
honestly can't remember any.
I mean, we played the Pedro Martinez sound. The Yankees are my daddy. That's just what it is. The good news is.
I don't think
it's
that aggressive.
No, it is, Chris.
No.
It is.
It doesn't burn that deep.
Well,
saying I'm your daddy is like, that's Yankees
five.
Red Sox.
No,
like,
I know that, but the Pelicans are the Kings' daddy.
I don't know if.
That's what it is. 916-339-1140. Ashley, we see you. We will get to you when we return. Also, sound from Coach Mike Brown. And we will get that chicken wing sound. Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.
Tuesday, goodbye. To the 16.
Say goodbye.
My eighth grade graduation song. I think we.
Oh.
I don't know if we sang it or if it just played as we walked in.
You gotta sing.
It's definitely ties to some of those.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. It was a good run. Back. What was it? What did you send me, Chris? March 20th.
Yeah, March.
They 20th. Were in sole possession of the sixth seed.
Yeah. Yep. It was all good. Just a couple weeks ago.
It was all good until it wasn't.
Yeah. March 20th, the Kings were 40-28 and gained sole possession of the sixth seed over the Dallas Mavericks.
Well, they're not done yet. We have sound from De'Aaron Fox. They know what's ahead of them. We have sound from Coach Mike Brown. They know what's ahead of them. And this is what you get out of bed for. This is what you get out of bed for, all right? Nobody said it was going to be easy. And as Coach Mike Brown said, adversity brings opportunity. Who is going to step up tonight? All guests and callers join us from the Folsom Lake Honda hotline. Folsom Lake Honda, your one-stop Honda shop, 916-339-1140. Let's get out to Ashley, who wants to be a part of the conversation. What's up, Ashley? What you got for us?
Yeah, so I was listening yesterday, and you guys were talking about how we need some sort of, or I think it was you guys, it might have been one of the other 1140 shows, but I think it was you guys, but it was being talked about how we need a playmaker after we kind of lost Monk, mm-hmm. and how he was someone who got us into our offense. I actually think we have that guy on our roster right now. I think that guy is Davion Mitchell. And the reason I say that is we go back to his rookie year, and obviously he's progressed in some ways since then, but in his rookie year, he averaged 14 points and six, or not his rookie year, but in his starts, he averaged 14 points and six dimes a game. Mm-hmm. And in the last 10 games, he was averaging 10 dimes a game as well, with only about three turnovers. And his turnovers have gone down, so has his minutes. But I think that it'd be interesting if we start Davion at the one, and with the off ball play we've been getting from Fox, we play him at the two. What do you think of that?
So you're saying put Keon back on the bench?
Yeah, have him come off as the sixth man.
Okay. All right. Thanks for the call, Ashley. It's definitely an interesting thought. I think Davion has been playing extremely well. And as far as the minutes he played, Davion played 27 minutes and Keon played 23. So he played more time than Keon. Yeah, and Keon, like we talked about yesterday, he is a guard build. And he can dribble the basketball, but he is not going to slash. Right. He is a 3-and-D guy. In a perfect world, he's off ball, right? And if you have more ball handlers, he would be off ball, and he plays off ball when Davion is on the floor. I think we're seeing Davion grow right in front of our eyes. At this point, Chris, I mean, it feels like forever or since Kevin Huerter's injury that we've had a conversation about the starting lineup.
Yeah, I just
don't know with two games left if it's worth it to tweak it again. Sure. Not that, and I can't even say they haven't been playing well because they have, not last night, but prior to that, they've been blowing leads. So I don't know what the solution is, right? I mean, I don't think that, yeah, it's not as if they haven't been starting games well, I guess is my point, besides last night. And if we're just throwing last night out, I don't see Mike Brown making a change like that this late into the season. But I do see, I guess the counter would be, well, Davion is basically being Malik Monk coming off the bench anyway. So there's no real need to start him.
Yeah, no, I mean, that's what I was going to say pretty much is just, you know, Davion right now is coming off the bench and I definitely wouldn't expect anything to change in the starting lineup, but I think Davion has kind of stepped into, he definitely isn't doing as much in terms of the usage that Malik had, but he's definitely been more involved in pick and roll. And, you know, yesterday, just as a playmaker in general, it feels like they're trusting him a lot more than they ever have before. It might a bit be out of necessity, but yesterday he had, I know at least one nice little pocket pass where he sent it to Sabonis. There was a couple moments. Davion even had five assists yesterday, which definitely slipped under the radar, led the team besides De'Aaron Fox in assists yesterday. I saw a lot of playmaking out of Davion yesterday that we just haven't really seen all season long. I'm not going to say he should enter the starting lineup, but you know, when he's going to play 25 to 30 minutes in a game, I definitely think you're going to see a lot more of Davion with the ball in his hands. And I think we've seen it kind of ramp up as these games have gone and as he's shown more. I would honestly be shocked if we don't see it a ton tonight, honestly.
Yeah, and at this point, like I said, at this point in the season, there's been so many different things have happened already, right, to this team. And you talk about the different injuries and changes to the lineups and rotations. I just think they're going to ride out what they have. But I do think, to Ashley's point, they can get that Malik Monk production out of Davion in the sixth man because, again,
right,
Malik Monk wasn't starting either. 916-339-1140. Let's get to Ward, who wants to be part of the conversation. What's up, Ward? What you got for us?
Gentlemen, happy Friday. Hope you guys are doing well. Shout out to the Stat Chat.
That's right.
Yes,
I thought it was you.
Love it.
Yes, come on over, guys. Come with us in Stat Chat. Have fun. See these guys' beautiful faces and have a good time with us. So
appreciate that.
I've been wondering what seems to be making opponents come to our arena as Steve Urkel and then leave as Stephon. I feel like maybe we're being too awesome a fan. Maybe they're coming in wanting to play the villainous role. They probably travel to other arenas and don't have as great a fan as ours. And, you know, they go through and they've already heard the Light the Beam chant from last year coming in hungry. And then they hear the Sabonis chants and the Keegan Murray chants and, you know, just the effort we give as fans. What do you guys consider that playing a factor of these guys just going off on us? And I'll take your answer off the phone here.
Thanks for the call, Ward. Shout out to the Sack Chat. You know, Chris, to be fair, and you talked about the lighting, not even being funny, the lighting in the arena and the backdrop and how it is a positive for shooters or the way it looks is very good for like the shooter's eye
the
plane,
the depth perception
and things like that. But, and I will say, I got to be careful here because, you know, somebody's going to be tuning in right now, getting into their lovely car to enjoy their Friday and hear Alan talking about the beam again. But I think to Ward's point, this is from a caller, not me, is there something to when you have something like that team saying, you ain't lighting no beam on us.
Sure.
I'm not very
no yeah yeah
very
no,
small.
Not that they're in the huddle saying they're not going to light
not
their
lighting
beam
that beam on us, but you know,
no,
hey,
it's a little,
y'all trying to light your beam, it ain't going to be on us.
Even if it adds 1% of juice, like it's still something. Like I definitely think there's some of it too. Like I think Ward is trying to point out there that maybe it's the fan base as well. Like, you know, the fact that the Kings do have a really good crowd, I think they're. Is definitely a piece of that. I don't know if it's Sacramento specific. I don't know if I'll go that far, but I definitely, I mean, the Kings obviously do have a really, really good crowd. And I think that Steph has talked about it before. Steph specifically, but I think there's a lot of guys in this league who have chips on their shoulders. They almost enjoy silencing a crowd more than
Kobe
hyping
was all
one
about
up.
That. Exactly. Kobe was like, all about that.
And you could feel, like, you know, yesterday, that 20-point lead when Mike Brown calls a timeout in the fourth quarter, dead silent. Mm-hmm. Because everybody,
so quiet in here.
Everybody thought the game was over.
Alvarado loved
over.
It.
And so, you know, I think guys live for those kind of things. It's not necessarily, you know, it's not that the crowd is so gives so much energy. It's that they love when the crowd has energy to then turn it into nothing. That's the satisfaction they get. Again, I don't think that's necessarily a Sacramento-specific thing, but it definitely helps when your crowd is pretty much there every single night. You know, yesterday was obviously a really big game, so the crowd was going to be there. But, you know, yeah, maybe in a game 47 against the Oklahoma City Thunder and they're at Golden 1 Center and you just need that little extra bit of motivation and the crowd is rocking on a random Wednesday, sure, definitely. I think that there's, you know, like you said, I don't know if we're talking 30% extra motivation, but right. I think it's probably something that factors into their energy level and definitely something that, you know, they're like, they probably don't think about it when they're playing, but, you know, maybe as they're walking to the huddle, be like, ain't no beam tonight.
You know what they're thinking, and they're saying, hey, man, y'all thought tonight was the night you were finally going to beat us. No, we own you, okay? You are never going to, you will never, ever, 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 you are never, this, Chris, this is from the text line, 916. Chris is from our first segment.
Oh, no.
Chris, if these two teams played 100 times, the Pelicans would win 100 times. Come on, bro.
Come on, bro. Get out of here. Get out of here. Get out of here with that simp. Hey, that's simp behavior.
Hey,
get out of here,
brother.
We
are smiling through the tears.
We just get demolished. We don't stand a chance.
That's that. Well, I'm telling you, Chris, and they better not. hold on, because there is a way the Kings see the Pelicans in the play-in. There is a way. Sal's and Watkins, Sacktown Sports. All right, we're having fun on this Friday. We getting the vibes right. So what we in the play-in? I'll see you anywhere.
It's new.
It doesn't matter. We didn't want the sixth seed anyway.
Well, hold on, wait. Wow.
That's old news.
It is.
We
it
in
is
the
now.
Play-in. You think Vivek's going to be there grinding film? He's grinding
dude.
Film right now.
People ain't ready for the compilation that I've been brewing up of Vivek,
Chris
dude.
Tate.
it's going to be the most fire compilation anyone's ever seen.
He is
grinding.
Like a fan cam?
Dude.
Yeah.
I've been, me, Brendan, and Frankie have been joking about this for a couple years, and we always say we're going to do it, and we just never do, and I even forget to do it a lot of the time, but I did it last night. If you noticed, immediately after halftime, it's understandable, but especially in the front row, nobody is there. Mm-hmm. Like, they're all taking their free food, getting their free drink.
Trust me, it is a nice place there.
Socializing.
Going.
Yeah, you know, like I said, don't blame y'all. Don't. And I'm blaming y'all because
TV's
I know Simone
there.
Be in there.
Yeah. Yes. I've been
Simone.
In there.
I don't blame y'all.
Look at
courtside Simone going crazy.
But while Simone's out there getting the hors d'oeuvres, getting the drinks, feeling good, Vivek's out there watching his team, mm-hmm. and it's crazy. It's just really funny every single time. Literally, there's not a single person in the entire front row, mm-hmm. but Vivek always makes sure to sit in his seat by tip-off. And
that's
like,
leadership.
It's kind of funny, but it's also like, you know, like in a way, Vivek does get a really hard time for, like, you know, he's a little eccentric and you know, can be a little strange at sometimes, but, you know, at the end of the day, he really does love this basketball team a lot. And for anyone out there who might believe, like, oh, how can Vivek just sit there and watch his team suck or whatever, I think he kind of cares more than anybody, which mm-hmm. can get a little dangerous also. Like, it's been a little quiet on that Western front, if you know what I'm saying.
The summer's coming.
Yeah, like, you know, I think I would be a little hesitant to start pushing Vivek on, hey, like, do you not want to see this team succeed? Because I think he definitely does. And like I said, he can be a bit eccentric. So just maybe don't work him up about, you know, these guys got to do something because you might get a Rudy Gobert trade, which could be good. I mean, you see it working for Minnesota, but
yeah.
Just saying, you know.
I'll put it to you like this, and we're going to do a full-blown convo on what happens if this thing continues to go south. We're doing a full-blown convo at 11, okay? Whether it's a success, if they don't get out of the play-in, where do we go from here? So we will have plenty of thoughts on what could be a very spicy summer. And, oh, it's going to be so hot in Sacramento. That's what everybody keeps telling me. We shall see how hot
we're gonna see.
It gets.
It's, we're going to see.
Speaking of food, there was a food item that ended the game on at least a funny note.
A fried
and Kevin
note.
Harlan.
The game was fried.
I mean, it was cooked. That's what the game was. And Kevin Harlan, Hall of Famer.
Hall of Famer.
Through and through. This was just, I'll let him tell it best.
Pelicans hold on. Driving into Murray. Somebody's throwing something on the floor. 46 seconds to go and a whistle blew. It's a chicken wing. Why would someone throw something that good out on the floor? It's crispy.
Yes.
It's warm.
Yes.
And I almost had to go out. I'm so hungry.
I hear your stomach over here growling.
What's that guy? I hope he eats it. I'm just going to save it for a little. I'm going to put it in that little heater over there. 46 seconds to go. It's Murphy with the ball and Fox, the quick foul.
Kevin Harlan's
the goat, chicken wing.
You remember when
it's a chicken wing.
I was not expecting that.
You remember chicken wing.
He did the commentary of like the cat running into the end zone.
Yeah.
Kevin Harlan's the goat, man. Like, give this man his credit. He is the absolute goat. That's incredible. And, you know, I will say chicken tenders, like, That's a top five arena meal.
It is. You know? It is.
I do
think a chicken wing.
It's pretty decent.
Oh, that's outstanding. Yeah. And at least that brought some laughs towards the end of the game, if you could bring yourself
to
laugh.
Did you see it happen?
No. Yeah. No. Well, I knew something was happening, but I wasn't really sure what was happening.
Why would someone throw something that good out on the floor?
I guess we should say and be responsible.
That's the story of the Celtics this season.
Right.
Why would you throw something so good onto the floor? You're up 11.
Let's be responsible here and say, hey, you know, if you're that person, I don't know if that person got removed or what happened, but guys, don't throw stuff on the floor. You cannot do that.
Yeah. Okay? It led to a fun moment, but really, it was pretty random.
Not cool.
And,
you know, we talk about the booing, and the Kings got booed last night after the first quarter. And you can boo as much as you want, right? Whether other fans and players and media agree with it or not, but throwing food, really?
Yeah, it's pretty wild.
Come on.
You probably deserve to be kicked out.
Yeah, and I don't know how they find that. I don't know if
I'm sure it's on film.
Yeah.
Because it came from it came from the opposite of the broadcast side too. So you can see that entire, whoever it is, you getting found out. So I hope
The trajectory of where the chicken wing went.
I think
it
literally must have gone right over like Harlan and Reggie's shoulder, because it was right at half. It was literally like it landed right at half court, and that's
a chicken wing.
I wish they would have zoomed in. They didn't zoom. They should have zoomed in on the wing.
Yeah,
I bet it was a drumstick.
Chris thinks it was a tendy.
I'm pretty confident it was a tendy.
Attendee?
If there's wings in that arena and I don't know about it, I'm gonna be pretty upset.
916-339-1140. Are there wings in Golden 1 Center that Chris doesn't know about? Apparently there's an app you were telling me about.
Yes, there
because
is.
Because I'm sitting there and I see all these different food items, but whenever I'm in there as a fan, I don't see the different food items. You said there's an app?
I think it's the Kings app or the Golden 1 Center app. I don't mean to plug them, to give them a free plug here, but I'm pretty sure.
They're our partners.
That's true. That's
download
true.
That one and download our Sacktown Sports app while you're at it.
That's right.
That's right, Simone.
Well
absolutely.
Done.
Absolutely. That's how you do it right there. I think it's the Golden 1 Center app. You can, I think pretty sure you can even directly order your food and have it delivered to your seat.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, like it's kind of next level.
When we return, we will hear from TC and see what he has to say. Also, more chicken wings. Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.